Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day, and Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
Hello, everyone, and welcome, welcome, welcome to Fightful's Money in the Bank Prediction Show. I am your host, Stephanie Chase, and joining me today, we are opening the multiverse of wrestling media. Yep, he's cashing in his briefcase, and he's joining me. It is Zach Hiron from the PW Torch. Zach, how are you?
Stephanie, I'm doing good, doing good. It feels good to get this briefcase off my shoulders for the first time and join you here on the Fightful stream. So I'm super excited to be here. We got a really great show to talk about too. And so this will be great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I so I'm currently preparing to go to London. I am in Liverpool and I will be heading off to London tomorrow morning. I think I'm heading off in about like 12 hours if everything works out. I don't think I'll be at the SmackDown show, but yeah, I'm super excited. I'm trying to think of everything I need to pack. What does one need to take to a Money in the Bank show? What does one need to take to London? It's weird. I used to live in London, and going back there for Money in the Bank, it's going to be pretty fun.
I love London. I've been there two times. I've got some good friends from college that live there. So it's been a while, but man, this is one of those events where I'm like, oh, there's a time to do this. It's like, it would be this show, but just couldn't get it together. So I'm super jealous that you get to go there.
Yeah, you love London, and I love your home of Chicago. So if only we could have swapped, but yeah, I'm super psyched to go. And I was just thinking today that I actually have never been to a WWE pay-per-view, which is like wild. Like my first ever WWE event was when I was a child and they did a house show in Belfast where I'm from. And it was like not the like top of the roster, but it was during that really good time in SmackDown when like, you know, Brock was first in it and you had like Kurt Angle. It was that era. And I'd been watching wrestling for so long at that point, and there like hadn't been a show in Belfast, or I was too young to know there was a show. And then I finally got to go to that show. And I remember I was so excited, and my little brother was there as well. And my mom took me, and this like mother and son in front of us, but the son was an adult, started a fight with the guys in front of them. It turned into like an all-out brawl. And I was there with my little brother and my mom. And I remember just thinking as a kid, because as a kid, you only think of selfish things. I was like, am I ever going to be allowed to see wrestling live again? Like, I'm sitting telling my mom, like, it's okay. And then this happens on a show. But it was actually kind of good because the security at the arena then, they felt like really sorry for us as this little family that had to witness this. It was a pretty violent brawl between like a couple of men and one woman. They then moved us closer like to the ring. So that was a positive, but that was my first ever WWE event. And since then I've been to like quite a few live Raws, live SmackDowns. I was in a live SmackDown in America, even live NXT as well, but never a pay-per-view. So this is like the first time for me. So I can't wait. And I think London has like struck lucky getting this show, like getting Money in the Bank. I think it's a really good one, especially this card. And you know, I won't just be seeing Money in the Bank this weekend. I'll be seeing Sean Lossap as well, who's in London, and he's having tons of fun. Like, if you haven't checked out his Twitter, he has been doing London sightseeing, but like all wrestling. Like saying that it's, I can't even explain, like saying he went to like Westminster Abbey, he was looking at different statues, but saying that they were different moments in wrestling history and stuff. And it's just been really funny to watch like him see London like through his eyes as someone that, you know, he hasn't been there. And then he's just making these really funny wrestling jokes. But like, I can't wait to see him as well. It's going to be such a party this weekend. But yeah, in about 12 hours.
I'll be just here all by myself and just hanging out while you guys are having all the fun in London. But you guys are going to have a blast. You will. I mean, it's going to be a good show, but, you know, it's not every day the wrestling world descends on London. So it's going to be exciting.
But London's getting it twice in one summer. Like, this is what is totally crazy. Like, we're getting all in August, but we get Money in the Bank.
Right.
You go so many years of nothing. And Sean in London will experience this, but you know, it's like they say, you wait so long for a bus and then two turn up at once. That's what's happening for UK wrestling fans like this summer, Money in the Bank and All In. But I wanted to ask you, how do you feel about watching, what time are you going to be watching the show at, like 1 p.m.?
So yeah. It is a 3 p.m. Eastern time here. It'll be 2 p.m. for me. So it'll be 2 p.m. Wow. Central time here in Chicago. So it's weird. Like the last handful of, Night of Champions was at a weird time. This has been at a strange time. For me, both WrestleManias were at a different time because I was on the West Coast. So like, happened at like 5 p.m. So like the last batch of WWE pay-per-views that I've either been to or covered or both have all been strange times. So it's kind of, I don't know, it's like par for the course now for WWE. But I will take a Saturday afternoon pay-per-view over something that ends at 11 o'clock at night any day of the week.
Yeah.
Call me old or what have you, but I like these things kind of wrapping up at a reasonable hour, and it makes for just kind of like a fun afternoon too. We've got some, you know, because it's a holiday weekend here, and so we've got friends, you know, coming over, and like kids are out of school, so it just should be for a good little afternoon thing. So yeah, but 2 p.m. we'll be in front of the TV.
That's pretty cool. I think for me, that's the best thing about the shows, the Saudi shows that they do, is the time, because I'm usually starting a pay-per-view at 1 a.m. Like, just Forbidden Door started at 1 a.m. The actual show ended at like 5. At 7:30 in the morning, I was in bed and the press conference was still going on. And usually I'm at those AEW shows. That's the first one I've missed. Yeah. But to experience like their length of show as someone in the UK doing it like UK time, it's a struggle. But, you know, UK wrestling fans, like, we train our our whole lives just to stay up for these events. So it's going to be weird, I think, for some of the like US fans experiencing like an afternoon pay-per-view or something. It is a shame we can't put them through like an early morning, you know, AM yeah. one like we get. But
the only time we have to suffer that is those you know, the New Japan shows or
New Japan, like yeah.
I've done the early morning thing, but it would not be something that I would want to do every single month like you guys have.
Yeah.
So you guys look. Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. Like the WWE now with like their AEW for that matter, but especially WWE, they've got such a global audience and they present mm-hmm. themselves as like a global company. They don't have to worry about, you know, pay-per-view quote unquote buy rates. So it just makes sense to do these events all around the world, you know, and give, you know, those fans all around the world, whether it's in, you know, Puerto Rico or
yeah,
UK or Cardiff, like, you know, it either way, it just makes sense. So I think that it's going to be kind of, I think in 5 years, this type of thing will be more normal for the WWE pay-per-view calendar because they just have such a big audience. It makes sense to serve them in that way.
Absolutely. I think if Clash at the Castle, but especially Backlash in Puerto Rico showed them anything, like you can make such a hot show by just moving it to a place that doesn't get a pay-per-view often, because like that,
right.
that crowd in Puerto Rico was amazing. And they lifted that. It was a great show anyway, but like they lifted it up and carried it so much. And I think it's going to be the same in London for Money in the Bank, because UK fans are always loud and they love to express themselves in all like different ways, different kind of chants, and they love to latch on to certain people. And I think like the atmosphere for this show is going to be absolutely wild. I think it's going to be even bigger than Clash at the Castle, just because it's Money in the Bank. It just always feels better when we're getting what the Americans get rather than having like something created, like we're getting like Money in the Bank. But what is kind of your overall excitement level before we get into the card? Looking at this card, it's a 7-match card. Do you think it's a good card that you're like hot for, or do you think they could have done better?
No, I think this is a very good card. I think it's a very good card by Money in the Bank standards. And I say that mm-hmm. because throughout the history of this event, in a lot of cases, not every year, but in a lot of cases, they lean on the Money in the Bank ladder matches to carry the show. Hence the name, et cetera, et cetera. But you usually see a lot of talent in those Money in the Bank ladder matches. And then the card kind of just sprinkles in around those matches and boom, you've got your event. On this show, you've got those two matches happening, but you also have really big matches around it too. Seth Rollins mm-hmm. versus Finn Balor. I think they've done a really nice job building. We'll talk about, you know, predictions for that later on, but from a build perspective, that's been presented as a top match. You've got Cody versus Dominic, which again, I think, you know, it isn't going to turn many heads in terms of, well, I wonder who's going to win this one, but you know, that has been presented as something significant. And then you've got the Bloodline Civil War like that. I mean, yeah. You can't overstate how important that match is. I mean, the Bloodline story has been going on for a long time. Roman Reigns is involved. It's been, you know, a driving factor in business for WWE on television, increasing in a world where ratings are falling year over year. And this story has buoyed SmackDown. And so you have that colliding with itself on this show as well. So it's not just a 2-match show. It's not going to be just a spot fest, you know, ladder match. There are other things there that are very compelling. And so I think WWE has done a nice job here in building a card that lives outside the bounds of what, you know, amounts to, you know, stunt matches in many cases.
Yeah.
So I give it two thumbs up for sure.
Yeah, I feel exactly the same. I think with, you know, the two Money in the Bank matches, they can easily just rest on that. But they've actually given us a card here where every single match makes sense to happen around it. But there's also like, there's no fat on the card. There's no like stuff that's just there for the sake of adding another match. It all like makes sense. All of these matches I want to watch, you know, there's no like bathroom break match, to be honest. Like it all, yes. It's all stuff that I want to see. And that's really good. We've got, you know, 7 matches. We don't need like, we don't need 15 matches. We just need 7, you know, good ones with good storylines. So let's get into it. But before we do, don't forget, guys watching, you can get in with your super chats or your humper chats as well, like Zach Barber has done, and give us your predictions, your thoughts on Money in the Bank. So let's start with Zach's chat, who says, how long does the Cody Dom match last? It should last 5 minutes based on the disparity in skill sets. It will probably last 12 to 15 painful minutes. Well, let's start off talking about Cody versus Dominic, and let's start with Zach's question. Zach, how long is Cody versus Dominic going to last?
I think you're going to see this thing go, you know, I'll say 14 minutes just to put an exact number on it. But yeah, I think it's going to get its time. I mean, it's going to get its time. The, you know, from a, I don't really know how to judge skill sets in professional wrestling, because they're out there to put on a show. They're out there to put on performance. They're working together. And Dominic and Cody have worked very well together so far. They've got polar opposite, you know, gimmicks. You've got Dominic kind of being like the scaredy heel who thinks he's a big shot hiding behind Rhea Ripley. And you got Cody, who's the kind of the adult in the room who just, you know, wants to see what Dominic has and wants to fight him and wants to beat him. And I think that plays off each other so well. And Dominic gets these just great reactions that, to me, this isn't something you throw out there and try to get it over with in just a few minutes. Like, they're going to milk this thing. It's a Cody match, so there's going to be drama. So this is going to go a long time.
You say 14. I'm going to say 16, adding in 2 extra minutes just for the amount of boos that will come for Dominic when they're standing in the ring together. But, you know, what Zach was saying with his chat here, you know, about their different skill sets, we know, we can admit that Dominic is not the best wrestler on the roster. Like, he's not at Cody's level. He's a lot younger than Cody too, though. And he's not the best in the mic either. But I personally, like, absolutely love Dominic. To me, that stuff is all stuff that he's improving on as he goes. I mean, when he first started, he impressed in his very first match, and then it quickly became not so impressive. But once he got into this Judgment Day character, he's found himself. And to me, he's one of the most entertaining people in WWE right now. Just the reactions he can get and how much he's like fully bought in to this character of being this guy, being in the Judgment Day, being with Rhea, all of it. He's just plays it like 100%, and this kind of thing doesn't work unless you're committed, and this guy is completely committed. And yeah, Zach says again, Omega versus Ospreay, this will not be. It will not be Omega versus Ospreay, okay? But very few matches are, let's say that is the highest of high bars that you could be trying to cross. But what it will be, I think, is a very fun match, very entertaining match. And Cody, whatever you think of Dominic Mysterio, Cody takes wrestling, his storytelling, his art very seriously, and he's going to want to put on a very good match that tells the story that he wants to tell between these two guys. These are two second-generation wrestlers, you know, with an age gap between them, but both coming into this business carrying like the weight of their own surnames on them. So, you know, this isn't just something like out of nowhere, like two random guys thrown together. Like, there is stuff there that someone like Cody can absolutely use to make a match that just doesn't have to be Omega Osprey, but can tell a good story, can be fun. And the crowd are 100% going to be into this match. It's honestly the match I'm most excited for. There's going to be so many people wanting to boo Dominic that I was at a house show in Manchester a couple of months ago, and like Dominic got heat like no one else. Like Dominic was the biggest heat getter on the show. It was wild when he came out, and Cody is like the ultimate babyface, and seeing how Cody works the crowd and interacts with fans and how he's so personable with fans, even though, you know, there's thousands of them on one of him, but he's so good at just getting, especially young fans and kids, like he's in it to be their superhero. And I think he's perfect opponent for Dominic. And I think Dominic's a great like stopover opponent for him as we are on the journey to Cody finishing the story.
I can't say much better than that. I mean, you're exactly right. And they're like, you can count on one hand, I think, the heels in the wrestling industry right now that get the kind of heat that Dominic does. And that's important. Like a lot of what happens in a wrestling match doesn't matter if you're getting that kind of heat, you know? Because it's all about crowd reaction and he's getting it. And I think, you want to milk that for as long as you can. And so I think it's, you know, I think you can make an argument here that like, oh, you know, let's wait until Dominic is more polished in the ring or he's got more in-ring time so that the match can be better. And it's like, you don't know how long of a shelf life that type of, you know, act has. Like, hopefully a really long one, but you never know. And so you got to strike when the iron's hot. And so I think going to this match right now is the smart call. It gives Cody something to do that keeps him firmly in the babyface lane. And so this was a smart way to book both those guys for this show. And I'm looking forward to seeing what they do on Saturday.
So prediction, Cody or Dominic?
Oh, this is so tough because you have the Brock Lesnar thing looming over Cody. Like, what, you know, Cody has this open challenge. The next event is SummerSlam. You know, I would not put it like outside the bounds of possibility that we see Brock Lesnar and somehow Dominic, you know, slithers into a victory on this one. That being said, I think Cody is still very, very important to just everything that WWE is doing on Monday nights. So even if Brock does get involved, I think Cody still gets the win. But I'm going to be kicking myself on Sunday morning after this prediction because I think it could probably go either way. But I'm going to take Cody just because he is the top babyface on Raw.
I'm picking Cody. I think if Dominic wins, people will be absolutely furious.
They will.
Okay, next I'm going to go for one that we'll probably spend like a lot less time on, the Undisputed Women's Tag Team Championship, since they're now unified with the NXT ones. We've got the champions, Shayna Baszler and Ronda Rousey, versus Liv Morgan and Raquel Gonzalez. This one, I like Shayna and Ronda as a tag team. I think I've always like wanted Shayna and Ronda to, you know, be on screen together as a team. And I know that's something they've both wanted as well. And I think it's going pretty well. And I actually think it's the best use of Ronda because this run of hers hasn't been the hottest. But she still does have like name value and cachet. And if they want to do this with the tag team championship, you know, just have one set of women's champions, I think that's a good title for her to hold. And it's good for her to actually be in a tag team with someone where it feels real. Like it's not a thrown together women's team. Like we can believe that Shayna and Ronda like are actually together. So for this one, I think they're going to retain. What about you? Do you think it's Liv and Raquel's time?
I don't. I think you're going to see Ronda and Shayna retain the titles here. And I think it's important that they do. Look, the women's tag division has been just messy for so long. It, like, the belts flying around, the belts just entirely forgotten about for months on end. Tag teams that are just kind of tossed together for no reason. And in some cases, they work out, like Raquel and Liv, but in other cases, they don't. And it seems to me that, like, the Paul Levesque regime are going to try to rebuild these titles with them being around the waists of Ronda and Shayna for a long time. And so that they can, when they defend them, you know, against a babyface tag team that's kind of on the rise, they can maybe, you know, maybe move a number with it, maybe not, but at least make it matter when they do. And I think, you know, they just won these titles not that long ago. And so, you know, to take them off, even though I know that Liv's coming back from an injury, you know, you're going to want that story to kind of come together well as Liv comes back, but it's just not the right time. Like, those titles need consistency, and they need to be around the waist of the most credible tag team that WWE has in the women's division. And I think that's Ronda and Shayna right now. I agree with you on that. So yeah, this is a situation where I think we'll see the belts stay right where they are.
Agreed. Let's stick with the women and go for our first Money in the Bank ladder match prediction. Okay, the women's Money in the Bank ladder match. We have Zelina Vega, Zoe Stark, Becky Lynch, Io Sky, Bayley, and Trish Stratus. First, I want to say I really like the lineup of this match, because I think everyone here makes sense. You've got Zelina, like, just coming off that great moment at Backlash. You've got the Zoe, Trish, Becky storyline, and then you've got Damage Control, Io, and Bayley. So I like that we have different storylines going into this, and I think this is actually quite a hard one to pick. But how do you feel about how they've been building this up the past couple of weeks and the storylines going into it?
I really like what they've done with this with this match, because of what you just outlined. Because there's a lot of storylines that are going on within the match itself, and therefore the match outcome can go a lot of different ways depending on, like, which story they want to green light after this event and after this match. Like, you know, I think you can, if you want to kind of give the briefcase to, like, the slimy heel who's going to just run it at the last second and cash it in. Okay, you've got that there with Trish and Zoe Stark. You can play that card. If you want kind of the scrappy underdog babyface to kind of get the big victory and kind of have this briefcase to lean on, Zelina Vega is there. If you want to put it around the waist of a really big star in Becky Lynch, who can make a big challenge for a big match at SummerSlam, you can do that. You've got the Io Sky Bayley dynamic. If you want this to be, you know, a prop in that feud, okay, you can put it that way. And all of those things, I think, are good outcomes, and I think they make sense. So this I think they've done a nice job here. And I think they got to execute, obviously, in the match. They have to, like, put on a good match. There's some people in this match that haven't been in, you know, in ladder matches before. Trish, Zoe Stark has done them, but not, you know, Money in the Bank. Zelina Vega, like, this is a very high profile kind of match for her. So, no, they got to deliver. I think, you know, they will, but I like what they've done here. And it's a different kind of class of, just a different talent batch than I expected going into this match. But I do like what they've built and what they've put together.
I think that Io Sky is going to be super popular in London based on the reaction she got during her match with Bianca that really, like, blew everyone's minds. Let's see another chat from Zach here, who says that the women's Money in the Bank has been defined down after poor treatment of the winners and the stupid fast cash-ins. I have to say, like, I do agree with that. You know, like, we're praising here the competitors they've put going into the match, but who knows how it's going to turn out, because they do just do fast cash-ins usually with this woman's briefcase. And I think me and Sean were talking about this during our Forbidden Door chat, that having the Money in the Bank briefcase is an easy way to build a storyline for someone. And that's something they do struggle with in women's division, but they then just don't use the Money in the Bank briefcase to do that. So I don't know. Do you agree with that? How they kind of treat the winners?
I do. I mean, it's like WWE likes to have the event, but I don't think they necessarily like having two Money in the Bank winners out there running around.
Yeah.
At any time, because I mean, it's something that affects the everything else you're going to book. You got to factor that in because that's out there. And so I think they'd like to just, okay, is there a way to get rid of this in a reasonable way? And for the women's side of things, especially in the men's side too, but mainly on the women's side, they've kind of just gone to this right away. So I'd like to see this like not be as defined down. And I think, again, as I laid out, like there's avenues storyline wise to, you know, have this enhance different things that are happening with the individual stories that are happening with the women in this match. But you know, yeah, if they're going to throw cold water on it and just like, okay, we're going to just have Zelina cash in and lose on the same night or win for that matter. It's kind of like, okay, you know, it's fine, but it's going to be forgotten about, you know, in weeks. But if done right, I think any of these stories can really lend itself to having this thing play along longer than it typically has.
That's what I think is interesting, like when you're looking at the winners, because say if you go with Io, and I think Io has a very good chance of winning because I think she's going to get that crowd support. But there's a story they definitely need to tell there between her and Bailey, and like Io versus Asuka would be awesome. But you first, I think, have to go through the damage control storyline, like go through the her and Bailey storyline. So does that mean that then she's unlikely to win because they don't want to her to hold on to the briefcase that long? Or does that mean she can win and hold on to the briefcase because she'll be doing a different storyline first? And I think that's the same when it comes to either Becky or Trish as well. Like they have this storyline between them. So does that mean that they would get rid of the briefcase immediately to continue on that? Or does it mean that they would hold on to the briefcase like while working through it? But to me, the people that are most likely to win, it's between Io, Becky, and Trish. And Becky and Trish, we haven't talked about that, and obviously Zoe's in there as well. I've really enjoyed that storyline. I have to say I've really enjoyed heel Trish. I think it's been a really good use of a legend, one of like the better recent uses of a legend. It's like she's having like a complete second career, you know. It's like, I don't know, I don't want to say it's like Sting's run in AEW, but I only mean that because it's almost like a completely different like run than like their last one. I think it's been awesome, and the play between her and Becky, and then getting Zoe involved and elevating her too. But how have you found the Becky and Trish back and forth that we've seen?
Oh, it's been on the high end of what I expected it to be. I mean, Trish, you know, she's never been great on the microphone, but she's always been better on the microphone as a heel. Like I think she has kind of that heel swagger to her, and she's, I think, found another layer to that, like with this current run. Obviously, playing off Becky is going to help that. But that's why you want to have good dance partners when you're doing wrestling angles, because you want to be able to play off the other person. And I think she found another gear to her kind of heel act with Becky Lynch. And I think that's, kind of now rubbed off onto Zoe Stark a little bit too, where they can now play off each other. And I think they've got a good dynamic. Zoe has been hit or miss, I think, as like cutting promos so far during her time on the main roster. But I think just the personalities blend nicely together. So I really like what they've done with Trish. I think they've gotten more out of her than they could have ever imagined. And she's having fine matches too. Like the matches haven't been a total disaster either. And that's a really good sign. So she's been very valuable, I think, in this kind of return spot. And, you know, she's cast in the right way too.
So I said, for me, it's between Io, Becky, and Trish. And if I have to make a prediction, I'm actually going to go with Trish. I think that because Becky's already had it. Io, I think her storyline is with Bailey that they'll move on to. I think Trish wins with Zoe helping her. And I think that she also, I'm not saying like she deserves to win, but I think there'd be something nice about having a woman that wasn't able to win a Money in the Bank before because it didn't exist during their first run, you know, win that and add that to their resume. I think there's something really nice about that. And I think that it would just be a good heel move for her to get one over Becky and actually take the briefcase. And I think that she'd be a good person to be able to carry it for a while she does the stuff with Becky, and then also ultimately lose when she cashes it into, and it wouldn't hurt her in the way it would hurt an EOS guy, I think, if she just loses when she cashes in. But who have you got for this one?
So I'm gonna take EO, but it's kind of for like, I think because I can't get over the notion that they're gonna let this briefcase linger out there for a really long time. And so what I'm predicting is gonna happen here is I think Io's gonna win the briefcase, and when she goes to cash it in, Bailey is gonna step in, and that's gonna like put a bow on, you know, damage control breakup, and now you go to that match, and you have that, you know, down the road. So I think it's gonna be Io who wins it, but I think in short order, maybe not like on Saturday, but a week or two, you'll see EO try to cash that in, and Bailey will be there to screw it up. So I'll take EO Sky. Again, it's not necessarily for the best reason. It's kind of because of their history in not wanting these out there. I think they'll use it as a means to drive a storyline and less of a means to, okay, we're really going to make EO this super big star.
Okay, next we have for the Intercontinental Championship, Gunther versus Matt Riddle. I can't say this is one I'm very invested in, but for an easy prediction, I'm going to say Gunther, not just because he's been a really great champion and I've enjoyed him so much, and I still pinch myself every time I see him on WWE, like being used well and presented well. Like, I was watching him wrestle before he was in America, and I never thought he'd be on WWE TV and it would be like this good. So even though he's such a heel, I would say Gunther losing in the UK would be a huge mistake after such an amazing title win so far. So I don't see this as like a big, great rivalry for Gunther. And I think that he wins and moves on. How are you feeling about this one?
I feel the exact same. This is your, you know, 3-4-5 minute match, I think, of the show. You know, this, it doesn't have a huge backstory. Like, it's got a little one, but not, it's got enough of one to put it on the show, but nothing significant in terms of like it getting a lot of time or Riddle really being discussed to win this match. Like, I think Gunther wins this. I think he wins it definitively, quickly, and cleanly. And probably to a babyface reaction is my guess. And so that will be fun to watch. And Gunther all the way. If there's one match I'm confident about, it's this one.
absolutely this one. What about for the World Heavyweight Championship, Seth Rollins versus Finn Balor? I don't know who's going to be more popular in this one, because I think Finn Balor is popular over here. because he wrestled so much in the UK before, when he was in Japan and before as well. I remember actually going to one of his last matches he had in the UK before he signed with WWE. But then Seth Rollins, fans everywhere love singing Seth Rollins' song. And when I was at that house show recently, it went on for an obscene amount of time because they weren't on TV. So it just could keep going and going and going. And it went on forever. But I think that on Raw, I was impressed by Finn and how he was working this storyline, like calling back to when he had to vacate the championship, which is something that I remember so much because I was a fan of his from way back when he was in Japan, and someone told me, like, hey, there's an Irish wrestler in Japan, and I had to go, like, support my fellow countrymen, and I start watching all the Prince Devon matches. And it was a big deal when, you know, when he won the championship, and then turning into Raw the next day and knowing that he had to vacate it was, like, super sad. So I love, like, that he put things together, you know, with this storyline, and how it's kind of that incident made him like a bad person, and not just the incident but Seth's reaction to it as well, and how he never, you know, regained it from Seth when he came back from injury, but also he never got back to that height, sadly too. But then on the other hand, I feel like Seth feels like he's just using what he's gotten over, the song, as a bit of a crutch, and I didn't feel like he was giving back as much in the storyline or like justifying himself or anything like that. I felt like he wasn't pulling his weight there. But how has this one been for you?
I'm just surprised, really, that they were able to get this as hot as they have. Because, mm-hmm. you know, we've seen this match not too long ago. Like, they wrestled in one of the rounds of the World Heavyweight Championship tournament, like very recently. So to kind of get this as personal as it's become, I think was a really tough task on part of the booking and the writing. But I think they got there. I think they did. And leaning on that history, like heavily leaning on their history, you know, as a main foundation for the story was the right call. And I think it generated the personal attachment that you needed. So I really like what they've done here. I think, you know, for Seth's perspective, you know, you don't know that song, you know, it's a big reason why he's as over as he is. But I think like for a while I was critical of kind of that popularity because it was like, this is just the song. In the last like 2-3 months, really like coming out of that Logan Paul win at WrestleMania, I think he's turned it into something more than just the song. And now the song like is a part of his overall act and his overall kind of presentation and not exclusively what makes him popular. I think he's done some good talking around it. I think he's done some obviously he's had some really good matches around it. So I don't think he's just like a one note act at this point in time. The other thing is, you know, Finn Balor has always had this in him. Like if you watched his work as a heel in New Japan, like he's got like a dark, twisted character behind him, and he can play like a really, you know, cold heel character when he needs to, and he's brought that out here, and I think it's served him well, and I think it's served the match well. So I'm going to take Seth Rollins here. He just won the title. I think he's got a lot left to do as champion. But I pick Seth Rollins with all the praise in the world for Finn Balor because I think he's done a really nice job in helping make this match compelling.
Yeah, I think that my camera went out of battery, guys, but hopefully you can still hear me, right?
We can hear you. I'll hold it down.
I am just changing my battery. But no, I totally agree, and I'm going with Seth on this one because I think that Finn, his heel work has been really good, and I think that going forward, it's probably going to be used in a wider Judgment Day storyline that he doesn't need the title for, and we know, you know, how impressed WWE has been with the Judgment Day. And I think that, yeah, I think Seth's going to win, and I think that that's going to make Balor like an even angrier heel, an even like worse person. And yeah. I think that's what we can expect from that going forward. But I think they're going to have a really great match, though. And I think the crowd reaction is going to be pretty interesting, because I do think that that Balor has like support over here. But God, that song just like gets people. Like that song just it does. Gets people like, so much.
It does. It really does. Like, I don't, I'm going to be really curious to hear your take on the song, like at a big show like this, in a with a big crowd like this too, to see just how much it is the song, or is it Seth that's as you know, as over as it seems like he is. And so it'll be really interesting to hear your take kind of after the fact, when the show's all said and done, to hear kind of
I feel like when we're all leaving the O2 and everyone's getting on the tube, that's what people are going to be singing, is that song. Like, I can't, because, you know, it's always something. It's always something like over here. If you go to a show in London, even if it's just a house show, people are always singing on the tube on the way home. And it's definitely going to be that song. And that is not what I don't think I'm going to enjoy that at all. But I think I'm also going to have to deal with it, because that song is just so crazy over. And it's so easy to sing too. That, yeah, absolutely. I think I'm back. Yeah. Oh, I am back. Yes. Okay. I hope that doesn't happen again. It's so hot in here that it just overheated. Let's move on. We've got two matches left. So let's go with the men's Money in the Bank ladder match. We have Ricochet, Shinsuke Nakamura, LA Knight, Santos Escobar, Damian Priest, Butch, and Logan Paul. And we will start with another super chat from Zach. Thank you very much. Who says, Logan Paul in the Men's Money in the Bank match hurts the match. He is not a pro wrestler. He's just a YouTube D-bag who pops in every 4 to 6 months.
What?
Do you agree? I have to say, I don't agree, because I know that, look, when Logan came in, a lot of people were skeptical, but I think that guy has proved himself. I know he's not busting his ass on Raw every week, but when he shows up, he's been really, really good. He's been so impressive. He's learned what he needs to know to do these type of matches. And I mean, I think he's going to go in there and like really put on a great show. So I don't mind him being in this match at all. And I haven't minded anything that they've done with Logan, to be honest. I think he's been really good, and he gets WWE a lot of attention, and that's what they want. And if WWE can get more mainstream attention and, you know, chase that attention that they've always been after, but if they can do it using someone that's actually good and entertaining, then I'm all for it. Because I know, Zach, we have lived through some pretty shit celebrities being put into matches, but Logan Paul, I don't think, is one of them.
No, he's not. He's not. No. And he's especially not when he's cast as a heel. Like, I think you could make an argument that it was weird to watch him, you know, when he's trying to play this babyface role that never made any lick of sense. But now that he's a heel, like, he's a good act for them. Like, pro wrestlers come from everywhere. They're not, good pro wrestlers do not always come from, you know, the indie scene or people who've been working 15, 20 years on the road. Like, they just come from anywhere. And if you can get reactions and you can work and you can do your thing, like, that's what matters. That's what matters. And he has proven that he can do that. Like, he really has. I mean, he can talk.
He's taking this seriously. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. His performances are on par with what you expect to see during any match that he's had. So no, I think he's going to make the match exciting. I think he's going to add an element to the match that it wouldn't have otherwise, which is somebody that people really don't want to see win this thing. Like, and I think that's going to make the match really, really fun. Because people don't want to see him win. And so I think that's going to drive a big chunk of the match itself. So no, I think it's a smart match for him to be in, to be frank. You know, he just can show up, he can do some big spots and that's that. So I think he's one of, if not the best celebrity that they've ever had. Bad Bunny being a close second, if not ahead of him. But no, this is just fine, and this is what WWE does. You know, they're gonna ride this thing until the wheels fall off for sure.
Yeah. So I think there's some people in this match that don't really have a chance of winning, and they're probably not like worth focusing on, like Ricochet. I don't think Shinsuke is taking this, or Butch. Santos, I feel like, has a bit of a chance. Damian is a hard one because I feel like he could, but I feel like it's honestly either they give it to Logan as like a shocker, Logan wins and the attention that would get, or they go with the guy that everyone's getting behind, LA Knight. But the problem is they're organically getting behind LA Knight, so I don't know if that's what they want. What do you think? I would really love to see LA win it. And let's talk about, like, being over in the UK, LA Knight is going to be so over.
Is he really? Like, you think he's going to get a stronger than usual reaction? Like,
yeah.
Why did you say that?
Because I think that the UK fans are, like, very plugged in, because it takes effort to be a WWE fan in the UK, like more than it does, you know, if you're in the US, just with like the time differences not being like as mainstream. So they're usually more like plugged in. They kind of like, they're more, they don't always toe the company line. And I think they'll see the reactions that LA Knight's been getting. They might hear that it's kind of not meant to be, and decide that he's the guy. And also, like, he's a guy that was an Impact, you know, for quite a while. Like, the last time he was in the UK was when he was with Impact, and we really loved Impact over here for a while. But yeah, I think that the reaction to LA Knight's going to be huge in London, I think.
Yeah. So that, I mean, that'll be a really interesting thing to see them kind of navigate. I agree with you. Like, I think it's like a two-man race. Like, I think it's either going to be LA Knight or it's going to be Logan Paul. My prediction here is based on like the future of LA Knight more than anything. And I, as much as like a Money in the Bank win would be cool to see, I don't know that there's like a good avenue for him as the Money in the Bank winner. Like, to me, like, I don't know. I don't see him cashing in on Seth Rollins. You know, that doesn't really make a lot of sense, because, I mean, you could make it make sense, but I think, like, the, you know, he's a budding babyface, you know, and you've got Seth, who is like a firmly planted babyface, and I don't know that you want that to like collide yet.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, you've got Roman Reigns, who is kind of, you know, I don't know that LA Knight's really ready to go into that world yet. Just because we haven't, you know, he's got to sustain some of that popularity for a little while. And so I don't know if he's ready for that either. So to me, like, the better move for LA Knight and to get him over as much as you can is probably to not saddle him with Money in the Bank. Just because that way he doesn't have to do any jobs that you don't want him to do. He's not going to be the guy that cashes in and loses to Roman Reigns or something weird like that. You just don't have to worry about it. And he can continue his kind of organic rise, you know, to the top. And I also think if Logan Paul wins, which is my prediction, I think Logan Paul is going to win.
Oh, okay.
I think if he wins, like LA Knight gets a little extra over because of that, because like the evil big bad heel steals the belt or steals the win away from LA Knight. Like, I think LA Knight's on an upward trajectory, that's just going to kind of give him a little more momentum to get the audience behind him. So I think Paul's going to win this. I think, as you mentioned, Stephanie, they like the attention that he brings. He's going to have that briefcase all around the damn world. And, you know, and I think we're looking at a Logan Paul Money in the Bank reign of terror here in the next.
Oh, my gosh.
In the next few days. That's my prediction.
Okay, I think that I want LA Knight to win. I know that. I actually think it's going to be Damian Priest and then Balor losing to Seth, Damian winning the briefcase, and Damian saying to Balor that he can get the job done that Finn didn't, and then those two having a feud before Damian ultimately does it. But do you see any chance of the men cashing in on the night?
Yeah, I do. I think you can make an argument for any of them, anybody who wins that match to cash in on Seth. Like, I don't think you're going to cash it on Roman at all. Unless it was, you know, Cody or something like that, but it's not him. So yeah, that's not going to happen. So no, I could see Logan Paul cashing in on Seth. I can see Damian Priest cashing in on Seth. If LA Knight wins it, I could see him doing it too. I think that'd be a mistake, but I could see it happening. So absolutely. I think that could be, you know, an avenue. Again, historically, they don't like having two of these things out there for a long period of time. So Priest, it's a good prediction. It's a good pick to have it go down that way.
Okay. We have come to the final match of the night. The Bloodline Civil War, Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa versus the Usos, Jimmy and Jay. So don't forget, guys, to get in your predictions in the chat, and also tell us what match you think will steal the show on the night as well. And you can send in the super chats and I will read them out. But Zach, you are a storyline man. You love to dissect what's going on. Has this been pure cinema for you, the Bloodline storyline, SmackDown every week, directed by Scorsese? Or how have you felt the build has gone with, we're finally getting it here, Roman, you know, facing off with his cousins, he's got Solo on his side. Like, are you invested? Are you fully in on the Bloodline story?
Yes, absolutely. This has been good. This has been really great stuff. I mean, they haven't hit home runs every time out. I was critical on the PW Torch after show last week of the kind of the promo that the Usos cut coming out of the big turn 2 weeks ago. But it doesn't change just the reality of the success that this story has been for WWE. Yeah. And now, you know, it's going to go in a different direction. Now it's the Bloodline blowing up and the war within it, and not so much its dominance over the company. So it's like, you know, it's like act two or act three. You know, that's what we're seeing here. All the players involved here continue to do a wonderful job. I mean, yeah, Roman Reigns, you know, what he means to the story, I think, is more significant than we talk about. Because, you know, Jay and Jimmy and Solo and Paul Heyman, you know, they all play well within this story, but they play even better when they're working opposite Roman Reigns. So he is a very important part of the story and continues to kind of play that. Jimmy and Jay, the same, and Solo, the same. Now we get to see it all collide together. And the strength of this match is that you don't know which way it's going to go. I think you can make compelling arguments either way. You know, with Jimmy and Jay kind of stepping up and winning, or, you know, Roman Reigns further kind of solidifying himself as the, you know, whatever you call it, the tribal chief and getting that victory. So they've built something really good here. And I think you could have probably milked, you know, the Bloodline being on the same page longer if you wanted. But I think it takes a lot of booking guts to go, no, you know what, we're going to make moves in this story and with this angle before things start to get super stale. Like, there's a confidence in that. And I think that's what they did here. They said, look, we don't want this to get stale before we do all the turns. So let's just do it now. And let's get this thing going while it's hot. And that's where they're at with this. And so I'm going to take Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa in this one. I think I'm not confident in this prediction, but I think it makes sense because what you're looking for, like the Usos to get like their big win right at the end. Like either if it's we don't know yet whether it's going to be as a tag team or if one of them is going to beat Roman for the title, but surely this isn't going to be the last time that these guys square off with Roman Reigns in some capacity.
Yeah.
So I think you give a lot away if you give them the win first. Like it's like they just climb the mountain in one little quick jump if they get the win here. And I think you want to see them suffer a little more and jump through more hoops and fight a little more opposite Roman in this civil war. So the only way to do that is to put Roman and Solo over here. So I think they win. And, you know, we see other iterations of this battle all throughout the rest of the summer and into the fall. And maybe, you know, some kind of, maybe some kind of War Games match like between the two sides. Ooh. Or, I mean, you could go a lot of different directions, but I think you got to, you know, the Usos need something to overcome in order to get to those other matches. And so the only way to do that is to put Roman over here. So I think him and Sikoa take it.
I definitely get, you know, I understand what you're saying, that this has to continue. Not that it has will continue. It will. But I do feel like with the Usos, you know, given that they lost the tag team titles and given that Roman is the most dominant man in like the entire world, I feel like the Usos have to win by pinning Solo, like to get something, like to make them worth Roman like continuing the fight with and not dismissing. Yeah. So I feel like, you know, if Solo eats a pin, they are able to say that they won the match, but Roman is able to say, well, you didn't beat me, because that's impossible. Right. You know, so they get something like that they can talk about, but he's got that like in his back pocket. But I mean, the feud is nowhere close to ending. And this is, I don't know if we're on a new chapter, like a full new book after this, but it's certainly going to be very exciting to have this big bloodline match like in London. And I'm very glad that we're getting it. You know, like you said, it's been a really well-told story. And I have to say that I will never like dunk on WWE for telling a story for a really long time, because there was so long that all I wanted was a long-term story from them. Right. And this has been an extremely good one, and I've loved it. And I can't wait to see the civil war between them. But yeah, I'm going for the Usos for this one.
Okay. No, like I said, the best part about this is you don't know. And I think that's really cool. And I think the scenario that you laid out, it also gives like Roman another layer too. Cause like he hasn't really had to chase anything as a heel. And so him kind of becoming a little unhinged if they lose and like having to chase down the Usos for like another match could be potentially interesting to watch on a week to week basis if it goes that way. So, you know, so yeah.
Any chance Roman gets pinned? Like Sean's in the chat saying that Roman was last lost by pin or submission TLC 2019. It's been that long. I don't think we see Roman being the one to take the fall in this match. Roman? No.
Look, it's WWE, so I wouldn't. You can never say never, and there's been probably worse booking decisions than that. But no, like that is like a just a prized possession of a booking tool that WWE has right now. Who's going to be the person that pins Roman Reigns? And maybe it will be one of the Usos. I don't know. But yeah, not going to happen in a tag team match. No way.
No. Okay, guys, we have done it. Money in the Bank 2023 coming from London on Saturday. I'll be there. Sean will be there. Sean is in the chat when he is in London. Sean, you should be back out at Westminster or something now, visiting Big Ben. I don't know. I hope you're not sitting in your hotel room. Sad that you're not on screen with us here, Sean. Oh, it's Rob pretending to be Sean. Okay, he's using Sean's account there. I was just feeling really sad at the thought of Sean just sitting in his hotel room watching us on YouTube when he could be having fun. But Zach, thank you so much for joining me. You guys, you got to go subscribe to the PW Torch on YouTube. Zach and Tyler Sage do so much great work there. And I pop up on there too. But Zach, thank you so much. And please take a minute to tell all the viewers where they can find you and how they can follow you, and plug all your stuff, please.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been a blast, and happy to join you anytime. I appreciate you asking. You guys can follow me on Twitter at ZHadornTorch. I appreciate that. Always love chatting with everybody about wrestling. And also, as Stephanie said, go to the PW Torch YouTube channel. We're live almost every day on that channel, talking the news of the week, previewing shows, reviewing shows. We have our flagship show on Friday afternoons. That's called the Fireside Chat with me and Tyler, and a variety of guests at certain times as well. I'm talking just the news of the week with you. We take your questions, we take your comments, we break down everything that has happened in the last week. And since we've launched the YouTube channel, we've seen the retirement of Vince McMahon, a brawl backstage at AEW, and I've had a ton of different things to talk about. So it's been really fun. So yeah, so head over there, just search PW Torch on YouTube, subscribe, hit the notifications so you know that we're live. And then of course, head over to pwtorch.com. We've got a just wonderful team of contributors, Stephanie included, that work really hard to deliver great content on that site. You can find my written work there every single day. And I think it's if you loop that into your kind of wrestling fix of the day, you'll be happy that you did. So that's all at pwtorch.com.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. Go follow Zach on Twitter. Go subscribe to the Torch on YouTube. It's a really great channel, and they've worked so hard in like building it up. So absolutely go check it out. For me, you can go find me on Twitter at Stephanie M. Chase. You can go find me on YouTube, Stephanie Chase Wrestling. What have I done this week? I put up a review of Fight Forever, AEW's first video game. I am not a video game expert, but I've spent all week playing that game, and I did a review that is less about the kind of technical video game side of it and more just like as a fan of AEW who's been waiting 3 years for this game. Like, was it worth the wait? Is it fun to play? So go check that out. I'll be at Money in the Bank. I'm going to do like a vlog on that as well. I'm going to be recording a Dynamite review later too, so make sure you subscribe to me. But thanks everyone that watched, everyone that left a comment. Thank you for the super chats as well. We appreciate them all. And I'll catch you next time. Bye.
American Giant makes great clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, and more right here in the U.S. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.